Matt, welcome to the Measurement Minute.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. I appreciate you having me on.
I wanted to talk a little bit about what you've been doing in terms of your role. I think when we got together out at the Hub, you told me that you'd really been focusing on data governance, and you come out of an analytics background. I wanted to talk a little bit about how that happened and a little bit about how you were approaching it.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you probably know this, we have been going through a merger, and we're merging Dignity Health with Catholic Health Initiative, and we've become Common Spirit Health. And as part of that merger, there's definitely been some reorganization of leadership around a single ministry. One of those areas is they've stood up a data and analytics a centralized team and effort that deals with the big data platform integrations. And one of the practices within that was, for the very first time, they formalized an enterprise-wide program of data governance. And I was appointed to that role because of my analytics background, because of, and just to be honest, like, because when I've always walked into rooms, I've always been someone who tries to drive consensus around things. I've always reached across to different organizations, different analytics teams, and tried to understand the best practices. And honestly, in digital, specifically in healthcare, you're always thinking innovatively. Like, one of the things that is one of the maxims on my team is innovate your way out of it, meaning if you have a problem, don't give up, just innovate your way out of it. So because of that thinking, I was tapped on the shoulder to say, hey, will you lead this data governance practice at this organization? And that's really kind of how I found myself there. But I think it's really important to note that with any organization, any large enterprise, whether you're merging or not, there is data governance happening somewhere. Whether you call it data governance or not, you are governing your data somehow.
Somehow, in some way. It may not be very good.
Right. Yeah, whether you're kind of just not doing it, well, that's still a form of governance. You're just not doing it well. So, and specifically at Common Spirit, there are some teams doing it really well in different pockets who've done it very project-based, but not at this big foundational level. So that's kind of what I was brought in to do.
Well, you're not the first guy to get that tap on the shoulder from the analytics community, and I think I wanted to explore a little bit how you felt about that. I often come off seeming somewhat negative about data governance, not because I don't believe in it, but because I find it a little bit intimidating and boring. I mean, it's not something that I want to do professionally. It's a little bit like being the Minister of Agriculture in the Soviet Union. You're set up to fail. I'd much rather run the KGB where you're set up to succeed. And how do you feel about getting targeted for that? We're major users of the data. We're often complaining about it. So a lot of times you're complaining about this. Why don't you go run it? But it's not always what you want to do. How did you feel about getting nominated for that?
Yeah, that's a really great question, actually. And I think it's funny you say that it's kind of like being the Minister of Agriculture. I've actually likened it a little bit to like running a DMV sometimes.
that's a very good one, right?
Yeah, so, and to be honest, you are correct. It's not necessarily set up to fail by design, meaning like, hey, we're just going to set this, we don't want this. Everybody wants good data governance. Everyone wants the data to be managed well. They want it to be governed well, and mainly because we all want high-quality data. We want it accessible to us. And we don't want to do all that data management and all those policies. We don't want to update metadata, right? And those are things that we don't really want to do, but we do want those things done. You're right. No one really wants to do that.
Yeah.
It's really hard work, and it's hard, meaning there's so many silos. It exists out there. There's so many political infrastructures around data. There's so many empires of little data environments. And the typical thing that makes this hard is not the lack of desire to have it. It's that, especially as organizations grow into large enterprises, this is what I've seen, is you kind of have this grassroots enterprise data warehouse pop up, whether it's a board mandate or whether it's out of need, or whether it's, you know, a chief data officer says, thou shalt build this. Normally, that's not how it starts, but it starts usually from a grassroots. and they really can't serve the organization completely out of the gate. And so what happens is, as a business user, as an analytics team user, you're kind of like told either fund your personal project here or wait in line. And so it's like, well, I don't want to fund it. If I got to pay you, I'm just going to build it myself, and I don't want to wait in line. So they just go build their own thing, and they do a good job of it, but you protect that. And so now you have this little data empire over to the left, and then another group does that, one over to the right, and then another group. So you have these pods, these little data empires that have been built. And I use empire, I should use that a little more loosely. These are great people doing the work, but they become very protective of it because their work depends on it. And so if now if we have this larger enterprise data warehouse and you have this data governance framework you need to build out and this program, well, it's pretty difficult to walk into someone's backyard and say, all right, tear down your fence, bring all this over to the enterprise data warehouse, and we're just going to govern this, because there's just, well, wait a minute, that my work depends on that. You can't just come in and mess with my stuff. Right? I have a job.
That goes all the way back to the childhood playground, right? I mean, we're violating the fundamental rules of childhood play when we do this.
It is. It is. It's almost, you know, I hate to relate it to children, but I have four children of my own. I like watch them play Legos, and they kind of like, there's no instructions. They're just building their own thing. And then all of a sudden, one will reach across and go, I need that. And it's like, wait a minute. A hand gets slapped. So that's mine. And then they're looking for someone of authority to come in and make a decision. And luckily in my house, you know, we have a parent. But like in so many organizations, there's no authority there. There's just kind of like, well, right. It's a coalition of the willing. So from an analytics perspective, I knew that this was going to be really hard. But my attitude when I jumped into the role, when I was asked to do it, was I think the best thing I can probably do for analytics is go and help this effort of data governance, right? And so that was my attitude as I walked in. I was like, you know what? If I'm going to move our analytics practice forward, then we need to move data governance forward as well. So did I need to go into the data governance role to do that? No, I could have still played that role from my side of the fence and just been really supportive of that. But that was my attitude when I walked in the door.
You know, it harkens back to me to that old Platonic theory of government, that the only person you want running your government is someone who doesn't want to do it. And I think that's often true in data governance as well. I think most analysts don't want to run data governance, but obviously have a lot of background and smarts and knowledge of the data to do it. So I think it makes a lot of sense. Two things I want to touch on. You talked a little bit about how the organization wants you to succeed. And I think that's true. I think the organization does want you to succeed, but it's often set up for you to fail. And I think that's the Soviet agriculture thing is a perfect example of that. Nobody wanted agriculture to fail, but the whole system was set up so that agriculture was almost bound to fail. And I think in a lot of ways, data governance is the same, which leads me to my last question here. I'd love to just for you to reflect a little bit about how you approached it, how you thought about getting started with this. I think a lot of times when someone as an analyst is faced with a really huge task like that, particularly one that has a lot of daunting enterprise and organizational aspects to it, a lot of times I think the hardest part is just how do you get started? So I'd love to hear, as you approach this, how did you think about getting started? What did you do first?
Yeah. You know, when I was asked to take this job, one of the conversations I had with my leader, we had together, was reminding each other that over, and 50%, I think, is being generous, over 50% of the time, data governance efforts fail in large enterprises.
Yeah.
Which is always encouraging to hear is the pep talk to get a conflict.
On a journey.
But, you know, so the first thing I did, Gary, is I sat down and asked why. Why does that fail? And I kind of came down to two big reasons that it really fails. Is the first one we talked about is if you just go in and start requiring these other teams to start doing things and messing with their stuff, but there's no real perceived benefit to them. There's no payoff for them. You're not communicating, or there's no real, this is how this makes your life better. Well, there you're gonna fail from lack of buy-in of that.
Yep.
So that was the first thing. It's like, okay, if we ever approach a group or include them into something, there has to be a perceived payoff for them. So, and they really have to buy in, because in data governance, you're not really doing all the work. It's the analytics teams, it's the engineers, it's the metadata managers, it's the data stewards, the custodians. You're creating the policy, the processes, the guidelines, and the vision behind this thing, and you're getting the buy-in. So that was the first thing. The next big reason that I, in surveying a lot of people and asking a lot of people and looking a lot of other organizations how they've tried to do this, is they start too big. They start from this, hey, we're just going to go and just have all this governance across everything, and it's like everyone fall in line. And we try and create this huge, huge umbrella of policy, and then we try and get everyone to buy into it, and we try and get everyone to try and force and follow us. And I think for obvious reasons, we don't even have to go into that. Whenever you try and boil the ocean, you tend to just, you boil yourself, in a sense.
Yeah. That really rings true for me, and partially because back when I was doing consulting, and particularly when I was doing large-scale consulting at EY, we were often hired to do those kinds of data governance processes, and they didn't usually work out. And I think one of the reasons was that when you go out and you hire a big-time consultant, you give them this project, well, they sort of feel like they have to do a big, broad, huge effort, right? It's very hard for a consulting company in that position to try to make incremental progress. And as I reflect back on my experience, I think a lot of times we were actually trying to do too much.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a killer. And the way we approached this was this, is sometimes governance can come across as like, when children see a policeman. It's like, oh no, and it's like, whoa. Something I teach my kids is that policemen aren't there to ruin your life. They're there to make sure your life is protected. Something that we tried to do was, okay, if buy-in is critical and we don't want to boil the ocean, what we did is we looked for willing partners that were already collaborating in the data space. And so we found a clinical data science team that was not only collaborating at Dignity Health with the Enterprise Data Warehouse team, they were also already collaborating with the Aligned Ministry, Catholic Health Initiative, within the Common Spirit Initiative. And they already had a project. They had already started the funding process. And so we looked for a team that was already collaborating. And like I said, everyone wants good data governance, but not everyone really wants to do it. And we basically partnered with that group and said, okay, we're going to start small. We're not going to create this huge umbrella across the organization. We're going to start small. We're going to start with this project, and we're going to start to build out some foundational practices, some foundational policies within the context of this project. And it has immediate value, immediate ROI, because the business has already sold in that ROI and that value. So that's where we started. And you start to give value to important groups that are already collaborating right off the bat. And so you have your first wins. And then we moved on to, there's another group in digital. There's master data sets that they've been dying to have. So now we're bringing this group that is, we've already worked with, together with digital, and saying, hey, we're trying to solve the same problems as some of this master data around patients, locations, and providers. And so we are starting to bring consensus there. So the idea is, look for teams that are already collaborating, who want data governance, come and partner with them, and then build from there and start building your program out. And so it becomes a little bit of a grassroots, but it's really important that the data governance team, or sometimes people call it the data governance office, that they start creating these foundational policies during that process. Otherwise, you just end up with this little silo data governance over in this little data empire over here that you can't really translate. So you have to start bringing slowly people into the fold of this enterprise data strategy and start to build out these foundational policies and practices. And so, and those are the people who are going to become advocates.
Totally agree. And I think this is just awesome advice. I mean, I think for analysts who are out there and inevitably find themselves either embroiled in or leading data governance efforts, I think what your experience both in getting the tap on the shoulder and figuring out how to tackle it in a pretty rational, straightforward manner that I think is easy to understand and easy to sell just makes a ton of sense to me.
Gary, the last thought I would leave with the audience would be that there's no magic team or magic button that makes data governance work for the analytics groups. So if you're an analyst or you're leading an analytics group, it's really the ball is always in your court to be a good steward and to be a good collaborator and a good partner of the enterprise data governance program. Remember, going back earlier, you're the ones who are doing a lot of the thought work and a lot of the foundational work within these projects of being stewards and custodians. So there's no team that's just going to come in and magically fix all this. It's a collaboration, a consensus, and you need the analytics leaders to come and contribute to that effort.
I think that's a profound insight. I mean, ultimately, like most things, this is more about culture than anything else. And we're all participants in that. And the culture of data governance is core to what we do. So I totally buy that. Thank you so much for coming on and doing the minute. This has been terrifically enjoyable. I'm glad we got a chance to catch up after the hub and looking forward to talking again.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. I really appreciate the time.